WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number three of the program here on Wednesday morning. And before we get into our discussion with the Long Island medium, Teresa Caputo, if you've been following along with the story about Air Taunton, the restaurant at the municipal airport, where as far as we know, there's not a whole bunch of rats in Taunton Airport, but the chef at Air smells a rat because he thinks that they're trying to force him out of that airport space to move someone else in. And he is fighting to keep his business in that spot. And he's put out a post on social media saying that tonight they need your voice. There's a meeting of the Taunton Airport Commission at 7 p.m. at Taunton City Hall, 15 Summer Street. And they're asking if anybody that stands with Air in this issue to show up and show support. So again, Taunton City Hall. Tonight at 7, the Taunton Airport Commission meeting. They're the ones that make the determination as to whether or not this lease can be fulfilled. Now, he has a 5-year lease. He's only been there for a year, and they're looking to terminate that lease. The Board of Selectmen, the City Council, it's Taunton, City Council, was discussing whether or not they wanted to send a letter of support, but there was, you know, some procedural concerns with doing that. But at least one city councilor wants to encourage the airport commission to honor this lease and to continue to work with Chef Herman and keep Air in there. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I don't know if that's going to be live stream, that Taunton Airport Commission meeting, but certainly there'll be a lot of people there in support of the restaurant. They had about 10 people, I think, that spoke at the city council meeting last week. Of course, two of those were Chef Herman and his wife, but the other 8 people were, you know, passionate supporters of what he did. And, you know, some people that he knows personally, but also some people who just were regular patrons of the restaurant. So now they're trying to get even more folks to show up tonight, and we'll let you know how that shakes out. Of course, too, we'll also continue on the rat discussion, but we've got a special guest to speak with first. And we are joined now by the one and only Teresa Caputo. She is coming to Providence this Thursday, and you can still get tickets right now if you go to the Veterans Memorial Auditorium website, or if you go to teresacaputo.com. All the information is right there. The vetsri.com is the venue site, and we're very excited to have you back with us, Teresa. Thank you for joining us, and thanks for keeping New England on your map of places that you come and visit, because I know there's a lot of folks here that appreciate you coming around and helping them make connections.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much, Tim. I appreciate your time. And more importantly, I love New England.
So, I mean, obviously, you know, coming through this area, we have a very rich history of mediumship and people who have kind of been connected to the other side. Do you find that when you come through New England, that you have a lot of deeper connections with some of the spirits that are around and some of the people who are looking to connect with them?
Like sometimes it's just more of a connection with the people. As far as the souls of the departed, no matter where I am, they always find me, Tim.
Well, and that's one. So what I did is I decided, because I've had the chance to talk with you in the past and ask you questions that I've wanted to know, I opened it up to the audience and I said, you know, what would you like to ask Teresa if you had the chance? And that was one of the questions that came in, is someone wanted to know, you know, what is it like for you? Mimi asked, what is it like for you to have to cleanse yourself and block out spirits when you want it to be quiet? Is that something that you have to go through?
Yeah, so I prepare my day every morning, you know, with prayer and meditation. And it's almost like, because of the work that I do, it's almost like spirit kind of knows when to kind of give me my downtime. But there are some rules that I have with Spirit that if I'm just out and about, like going through my day, if I'm at the grocery store or just shopping, Spirit has to show me three things before I would actually approach someone. So sometimes I could just sense things, you know, I could just sense that, you know, that there's a father energy present, but I might not feel other things to get me to say something, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So Spirit has to make me feel the bond that they shared with the person. And then they will bring me physically through their departure. And then they will show me a sign or symbol in my frame of reference of whatever it is that is holding that person back from healing and asking them to release that so they can start to heal.
So it really is a kind of, to some degree, it's a respect thing. You know, you respect them and what they're going through, and they respect you in your life. And one of the questions we got from Marion was, do they let you sleep? Do they ever wake you up? I mean, have you ever been awoken by a need for a message, or have they learned that that's the time that you need to recharge?
Sometimes I do. Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night for no reason and I can feel just a presence. A lot of times that's more so when I'm traveling. But for the most part, I do feel that Spirit has respected me in that sense. Like, we have an understanding now, Spirit and I.
Well, and obviously when people are coming out for your event at the vet this coming Thursday, you know, that's a different thing because you want as many spirits as possible to come around and you want them to be able to, because this is the time that they have to communicate with their loved ones. So with that in mind, when you've got that big room full of people, how do you manage all those energies and not only the energies of the spirit, but also of the people that are in the room as well? I can imagine it can get overwhelming if you're not careful.
Right. And you know what, Tim? It's all about trust. You know, I put it in Spirit's hands and God's hands. And, you know, what I have Spirit do is I have the souls band together. I refer to it as piggybacking, where the souls that speak are the souls that can deliver as many messages at one time. So I could be channeling and standing in front of one family, but it's not only healing that one family. It could be healing hundreds of people at one time.
Right. So it doesn't always have to be the direct message that person is receiving. I've seen that happen with others who are, you know, afraid to speak up or are, you know, the ones that don't want to have the attention, but yet they come away feeling more profoundly changed than some of the other people that are there.
Absolutely. I think that's one of the things, Tim, and I think we've talked about this in the past, you know, listening to these messages and hearing and watching someone heal in front of you, it changes you. And people will say it all the time. They'll be like, I didn't know what to expect when I went to the show. I personally did not get read, but what I witnessed was life-changing. And then they even go on to say, and they say, I realized that the people that did get messages, they truly needed to hear from their loved ones more than I did. And I think that's such a profound statement because let's face it, Tim, anyone that walks in that theater, they're wanting and hoping and wishing to hear from their departed loved ones. So I think by people making that statement just shows you on how powerful the experience truly is.
And do you feel, though, when everybody leaves, I mean, I'm sure as somebody who is so in tune with this, can you still feel that there might be some people that are still struggling, or do you kind of have a sense of, I think I was able to help everybody? Because sometimes it takes a little while for them to process what it is that they've seen, I would assume, or heard or experienced.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what, Tim, I've also learned many years ago that this has nothing to do with me. This has to do with the souls that are channeling and the people that are receiving the messages. I do my job by sharing whatever it is that I sense, feel, and hear. And I respect that a lot of times it's overwhelming for someone because two things happen when I start channeling. Some people, they become like a deer in headlights. They freeze. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to say. And then the other thing is that people can't contain themselves and they're shouting out. So I understand it more than anything. And I know that every time I hit that stage, and no matter how many messages are being delivered, it changed and sometimes saved someone's life. because I know that there are plenty of times people come to one of my live shows and they don't know how to go on. They don't know how to live life and they don't want to. And then they attend something like that and Spirit literally gives them their life back. And that's why I do what I do.
I don't know if we talked about this in our previous discussion, but do you have to filter some of these messages? Like, I'm sure you're getting a lot of things that maybe in a auditorium setting is probably not the best thing to bring up for somebody. So do you kind of censor those or do you just let it come through? Because obviously the message is important.
I have to let it come through, Tim, because it's not up to me what Spirit wants me to say, who gets read. That's up to the souls of the departed, not me. And for example, I had 3 weeks ago, I was channeling a gentleman's three children and his ex-wife poisoned their three children and tried to poison him. How, you know, I just have to find a way to deliver these messages with dignity and grace and, you know, in a respectful way. That's the only thing that I do.
Well, that kind of leads into a question that came in from Naomi. She wanted to know if there was ever a spirit that you had experienced that made you question whether or not you wanted to continue using your gifts.
Not to that extent. The work that I do is very hard. I make what I do look very easy. But it's the hardest thing that I have to do is to channel someone's loved one and to try to give them the peace and even the courage to face another day in some cases. But I feel that the world needs my gift more than ever.
Absolutely. And kind of on that same idea, Kathleen asked if there was anything that you could change about your gift, would you?
I guess, Kathleen, I guess that they wouldn't bother me when I'm out and about.
It's always those new ones that have trouble understanding the rules.
I don't think I would change anything. I know that I was born this way and I was born to do this. So I honestly don't know if I would change anything about my gift, because that's what makes it, you know, it's like any type of occupation, right? You're going to have your good days and you're going to have your bad days, right? It's the same thing with the work that I do. So I just take it all in stride and I just know that this is my soul's journey. And I'm going to have to say that I would not change a thing.
And it's not like it's not something that you haven't, you know, adapted to yourself as time has gone on. I mean, you know, a gift is a gift. It's just that, you know, you don't really get to say, well, I'd like it better if it was like this. You know, it's up to you to kind of take that gift that you're
right.
given and make it work.
Exactly. That's why I don't think I would change it. You know, I just had to find a way to deliver some of these messages. Every message is extremely difficult that I have to channel because someone is grieving, right? And somebody is struggling moving forward with their life. So it's difficult, but I wouldn't change it. And I couldn't imagine myself doing anything else here in the physical world.
And there's a great quote that you have about what it is that you'll be presenting on Thursday at the Vets. And in this quote, you know, this really stood out to me. It says, "The experience isn't about believing in mediums. It's about seeing something life-changing. It's witnessing firsthand spirit communication." And I like how, you know, as you said, you take yourself out of that. You're just there to kind of be that conduit.
Yeah.
And if people go into it with that in mind, you know, it eliminates some of that kind of expectation or skepticism that they may have, and they can fully embrace the idea that this is actually happening in front of them.
Right. And that's the other thing, Tim. I can't tell someone how to feel. And people have every right to feel the way that they feel. And I think by giving them permission, it kind of helps them in a way as well, you know? And I want them to believe in themselves because, like I said, we all have this ability to connect with our own departed loved ones. This is a soul bond that will never and can never be broken. That all these things that go on around us, that is our loved ones. I just want you to know that you're not crazy. It's not wishful thinking. It is your loved ones. It's these little hellos from heaven that give us the strength to continue with life. And you'll even see it at the show. If you come down to the show, people will say to me, they're like, I don't believe in this. Or their loved ones will throw them under the bus and they'll be like, oh, my dad doesn't believe in this. He was making fun of you on his way over here to the show, you know, and I'll call that out because this is not about believing, you know, in what I do. People know what they sense, what they feel, what they see. Nobody can take that from them. And for spirit to acknowledge that, especially things that they've never shared with anyone, those are the things that always get me. When spirit channels with that personality and when spirit refers to things that this person has never shared with anyone in their entire life. How would I know these things?
And I
make it up. And to really validate that spirit is a part of our life.
And I know the exact face they make because I bring people on paranormal investigations for historic haunted places. And when you get that skeptic who says, I don't believe in any of this stuff, they're always the one that has the experience. And then you see that look on their face when they're like, oh, wait a minute, this is actually real. This is actually happening. And it changes your entire worldview in a matter of seconds.
Exactly. Because we think, how would this be real? How would, you know, sometimes when you think you see that shadow or you feel that someone's standing behind you, right? No, whatever pops into your, this is what I tell people also about the signs, because what I've also learned over the years, Tim, is that people, I think, sometimes have this vision of, well, when my loved one passes, I'm going to see butterflies or I'm going to see red cardinals or, you know, I'm going to see rainbows. And they might not see any of those things, but they might experience things in life that they feel their loved one with them, or they hear their voice, or they just know that they're with, know that that's real. That is the soul reaching out to you.
And there will be lots of souls reaching out to folks on Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at the Veterans Memorial Auditorium in Providence. Teresa Caputo, live, The Experience. Tickets are still on sale at thevetsri.com. There's a few left. I went and checked before we talked, so people can jump on those and get them before they're gone. And of course, they can follow along with you at teresacaputo.com on all of your adventures. And I want to thank you for joining us and taking the time to share with us how this all works for you and what people can expect.
Absolutely. I appreciate you very much, Tim. I hope you're going to come down and check out the show one of these days.
Just don't call on me, even if my loved ones are trying to get you to. I'm a little shy when it comes to that. You'll know me. I'm the one hiding in the corner that's like, please, please don't see me. Please. And it's not me you're looking at. It's the spirit. So I'm just, you know, I'm helpless in that regard. All right. Thanks to Teresa Caputo for joining us. And hopefully you get out there to see her Thursday night. Again, thevetsri.com if you want to get tickets. I got an app chat message. It says, Tim, so you believe in spirits of the dead, but you don't believe in the Holy Spirit, yet your guest says she prays before God before starting her day. You need Jesus in your life. Well, let me put it to you as quickly as I can in the moment that I have here before I get to take a break. I'm not convinced necessarily that what I experience when I go out and experience ghosts are necessarily, you know, the souls of dead people. I think there's other explanations that could explain a lot of what we encounter. But by that same token, you know, I respect your belief. I respect your right to believe what you believe, just as I would expect that you would respect my decision not to believe in that. So I don't need people telling me that I need Jesus in my life. My life is just fine. And nor would I ever tell you that you are wasting yours in believing in it. So keep your religion to yourself. That's the best advice I can give to anybody. Keep your religion to yourself. It's not, if you want to be an evangelist, then do it to the people that are seeking that. Don't do it to people that that are perfectly fine in what they have going on. So, all right, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we'll get you the news, and then we'll take your calls, 508-996-0500. We'll be right back after this quick break.
Five people shot outside of a Connecticut mall. The CDC changing COVID-19 vaccine recommendations. And Gen Z males are drinking less.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Detectives have detained a person of interest in a shooting at a Connecticut mall that wounded five people yesterday. The victims were being treated at the hospital for non-life-threatening injuries. Police believe the shooter used a semi-automatic pistol, and the suspect knew the victims and were in a dispute. The COVID vaccine no longer being recommended by the CDC for pregnant women and healthy children.
Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. made the announcement in a video posted on X Tuesday.
Last year, the Biden administration urged healthy children to get yet another COVID shot despite the lack of any clinical data.
Previously, the CDC had recommended the vaccine for everyone 6 months and older. This comes after the FDA announced last week that new COVID shots would no longer be routinely approved for healthy children and adults. There isn't a COVID shot mandate for anyone in the U.S. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Elon Musk says he's disappointed in President Trump's so-called Big Beautiful Bill. Musk said in a preview of an interview set to air this weekend on CBS Sunday Morning that he was disappointed to see the massive spending bill because he feels it, quote, undermines the work that the DOGE team is doing. It passed the House last Thursday and looks to extend the tax cuts brought on by President Trump during his first term in 2017, as well as boost border security and deportation funding. President Trump says Canada could pay as much as $61 billion to be protected by his Golden Dome, or they could get it for free by joining the U.S. Trump made that announcement on Truth Social yesterday and claimed Canada, quote, very much wants to be a part of his proposed military defense system. And he said it would cost them, quote, $0 if they become our cherished 51st state. His post said Canada is considering the offer. It came just hours after the UK's King Charles made a rare speech in Canada emphasizing Canadian sovereignty. Fewer men in the Gen Z demographic are reporting binge drinking compared to women in the same age bracket.
An April 2025 study in the Journal of the American Medical Association found that young men in particular are the ones giving up binge drinking, which for men is defined as having five or more alcoholic beverages in one sitting. Research shows the gap between men and women's drinking rates has narrowed over the past several decades, but in recent years, women's alcohol use has outpaced men's for the first time. While Gen Z has been hailed as the sober, curious generation, the study's author says the reason as to why young men are drinking less is still up for debate. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
A new study says 3/4 of all moms in the U.S. are struggling with some degree of mental health issues. The study, published yesterday by Columbia University, looked at nearly 200,000 mothers over a 7-year period and found only 25% reporting, quote, excellent mental health. That's down from 38% in 2016. The study also shows declines in physical health among U.S. mothers, especially those who were single, younger, less educated, and whose children were multiracial or uninsured. The Scripps National Spelling Bee, marking a big anniversary this year. 9 spellers competed in the first National Spelling Bee in 1925. More than 240 students will compete for the title of Best Speller in the U.S. today in Maryland, as they are marking the 100th year. Preliminary rounds began yesterday. Competition wraps up on Thursday.
WBSM Sports.
Christian Yelich hit a walk-off grand slam in the bottom of the 10th to bring the Brewers to a 5-1 win over the Red Sox in Milwaukee. Red Sox relief pitcher Liam Hendricks looks back at the end of the game where he allowed that grand slam.
Yeah, it's not good. Obviously, we pitched a hell of a game, and then to be on the end of that with letting the entire group down, that stings for me a lot.
Sox and Brewers back at it again this afternoon at 1:10.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
Good morning on this Wednesday. We're waking up to a grayer day across the South Coast. Now, it's not going to be wet, at least not till late evening. It's just not going to be super sunny. That said, it's not a bad Wednesday. Temperatures starting out pretty mild in the low and mid-50s. And by the afternoon, expect the mid and upper 60s for the coast. And as you head inland, temperatures start with a 7. Most spots between about 70 and 73 degrees. Again, it's not a bad day to get outside and enjoy that mild air. It's just going to be a little less sunny than what we saw earlier this week. Showers, again, don't come back into the picture until later Wednesday night. I'm ABC6 Chief Meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content with the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
It's detachable. Welcome back in 508-996-0500. The real ones know. The real ones know. I don't have to say anything more than that. Just that the first opening strains of that song, the first opening riff, you know what that's all about. Chris McCarthy knew. 508-996-0500. We're going to get back into the rat talk. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hi, Tim. Good morning.
How you doing?
Good. Thank you. I just got out of the shower. So I figured instead of you reading that app chat, I'd just call in. I just wasn't sure if I'd have time.
Well, only if you got dressed already. If you're not dressed, I want you to call back after you get dressed. Otherwise, it's weird.
Oh, it's weird then. Good morning. So what I wanted to say is, which is kind of ironic, I'm going to get my mammogram today in Fall River at 11 o'clock. So I'll be leaving here, 10:30 in case there's any incidences on the expressway.
Good luck with that.
And I thank you. And I hope I have the same girl I had last year. She didn't hurt me at all. But well, actually, I'll tell you this real quick. It was made for one, but we moved it up to 11. So kind of caught off guard. So I just wanted to say, which is ironic, the mayor's wife is all about the breasts, all about the boobage. And so I'll be doing what his wife is very familiar with, her field. And I won't be able to call in. And so I was wondering, could Chris ask the mayor, I am where I live, because not everybody listens to this radio station. It's so informative, too, but, not everybody does, obviously. So I'm going to go and make 50 copies when I get done with that at Staples, and just letting everybody know to be more aware about their trash, keeping those the side doors of those big containers when they come and get them, to keep them close, because I would hate to see one of them jump out and bite anybody. They're not here yet, but I imagine they will be, because we only get our trash picked up once a week, which is crazy considering. But that's what I'll be doing. I hope everybody can write my writing. I hate my handprinting. I hate my handwriting. I'm going to, go to that length to make people informed. So my question is, and I know the mayor's probably not listening this early, but hopefully Chris is there. I just want to know, the mayor, is he going to mail out informational flyers to everybody? You don't have to have names, We all know you can get junk mail the resident.
Yeah, I think what they could do, couldn't they do a reverse 911 too, where they could just call everybody and warn them too?
I don't know if they can use the airwaves like that, Tim.
It's just a phone call. Reverse 911. So what they do is they just call every phone number, and they can they can geofence it to say, we're going to call all the people in Ward 3 and Ward 1, and that little bit of Ward 2 that's going to abut it as well. They can send it out to just call those people and give them a recorded message.
this is why it was important for me to physically call in instead of doing the app chat. And Chris doesn't read them. Read your app chats.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. He doesn't have access to it. So it's not his fault. He doesn't want access either. Eventually, right, I'm going to get a screen in here that they can't help but look at, and then they'll see the app chats come in.
Right. Well, you know, Brian does a good job of doing that. So anyways, not to deter from the conversation, but yeah, I think, you know, could Chris ask the mayor, even like what you just said, I'm doing taking my own steps, you know, to calm my fears down. And also the mosquitoes. I asked the mayor, I hate to think that we've got to start spraying this early, but are they going to start testing for mosquitoes in my area? Because I already see them.
That's the state that does that.
Well, maybe he can push up something because they are here because of all the fresh dirt and all the rain. So, I mean, that's a huge fear. That's no joke, mosquitoes. They become worse. Right. You know, the type of diseases. So there you go. And so I'll be getting my mammogram. Everybody go get your yearly mammogram. And thank you, Tim. That's it.
Good luck.
Take care. Bye.
And I got to take a break here. We'll be back in just a few moments. Stay tuned. And welcome back in 508-996-0500. It's the Tim Weisberg Rat Time Show. Good. Actually, Chuck sent in an app chat message. He says, the Tim Weisberg Show, the only program where naked women call in to talk about rats. It's an eclectic program. What can I tell you? And by the way, you're assuming that only Sketty is the naked one here. I mean, Chris McCarthy's here, but he can only see from the waist up. He's over on the other side of the room. He can't see what's going on behind the counter. Yeah, see? Let's see. We got another couple other app chat messages here. Sue says, I called the mayor's office 5 years ago to complain that there were rats in my yard and was told, well, there were rats in the city. I asked if the mayor has them on his street and got crickets. Well, crickets can be a problem, too. If they get inside the house, then you can never get rid of it. I get what she means, though. Crickets, as in, didn't hear anything back. But this is a huge problem. And this is now a major news story. All of the television stations have been covering it. And here we are at the beginning of tourist season. Here we are telling people, come on down to New Bedford. Jump on the train. Ride the train down. Ride the train down. Ride the train right down Church Street, which is where some of these rats are probably headed now. Ride the train. Come on in. And then we're telling people, hey, fly into our airport. Come fly into our airport. When you pull up into the airport, there's the rats with the little cones kind of directing you in to land on the tarmac there. So that's what we're going to be known for now. As I said, you know, we were known for rats a couple of months ago, but that was Snitch City. This is a different kind of rat. Now people are going to be talking about this for weeks. Or months. Or maybe this just becomes part of the reputation now. Oh, New Bedford, isn't that the city that had that crazy rat thing happen? And this isn't like cute, adorable rats like Pizza Rat in New York City. This is, you know, as I've learned, a mischief of rats all over the place. Yes, that's what they call a group, a herd, a colony of rats. They call it a mischief of rats. I had no idea. So as I've been talking about all morning long, we have a story at WBSM.com and on the app where the city responded. And by the way, if you missed me mentioning it this morning, there was a lot of complaining about, well, why hasn't the city done anything? Why hasn't the city said anything? Because it was over the Memorial Day weekend. And so from what my sources were telling me, the city didn't want to put out a statement of what they were telling Harvey to do until they talked to Harvey. And because it was a Memorial Day weekend, they weren't able to talk to Harvey about it. So that's why it wasn't like they weren't on top of the problem. They just couldn't put out this statement yet. So then we got it yesterday. They put it out and they said what they're going to make Harvey do. They said what the city's going to do. But basically they're focusing on the area immediately around the transfer facility. And that's too late now. because these things are all over the place. They've been seen down at Yesteryear Cycle, that area. They've been seen in that neighborhood over there. They've been seen, Councillor Choquette told me he saw them running across the street at Symposium last night at 10:30 on his way home from City Hall. Like, these things are out there. They're moving around. They're spreading. And it's gonna take a long time to be able to get them under control, if that's even possible. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hi, Tim. Democratic politicians don't really worry about rat infestation because they will never infest their personal homes because of a professional courtesy. That's why that happens, you know. So I don't think the Democratic politicians ever have to worry about rat infestation in their personal property. So I've seen rats all over the city of New Bedford. You know, there are two-legged types and then there's four-legged types. So with that, have a nice day, Tim.
All right, you as well. I don't think that went over as well as you thought it was going to. We'll be back in just a few moments. You're used to it, and you just don't get it. Keep the cope set again. You learn to accept it. You know you're so pathetic, and you just don't get it. Keep the cope set again. You learn to accept it. All right, that is Local H, Bound for the Floor, and we are getting some more app chat messages regarding the rats. Linda says, why doesn't the mayor import some pythons and other snakes from Florida to gobble up the rats? And of course, she's just kidding, but I mean, we're going to have to start thinking outside the box, because guess what? These rats are all outside the box, and they're not getting back in. So it's going to take some pretty creative solutions, and while I applaud the city for, you know, forcing Harvey's hand in some of this and, you know, forcing them to pay for, if you get rats in your house because of this, you know, they're going to cover your exterminator bill. So, but I think that it's also, you know, it's gone beyond that area already based on the reports that we're getting. So I think there's a lot more to this problem. And I think that when the mayor comes in at 11, he's going to have an update for you. And I think he'll have to address the fact that it is a bigger problem than it would have been, you know, 2 days ago had they started handling it then, 3 days ago. Now these things are just moving. So I guess the best thing you can do is just be like, you know, be like Willard. Get them to do your bidding. Get them to, you know, it's kind of, you move your hand and the whole mischief moves. But that's what's called mischief. It's a group of rats. All right, that's going to do it for me for today.